Thank you very much, Adam. I was very interested in the things that went on today. I studied, I had all kinds of notes and things and scriptures written down, and had a lot of it put together before I came to church this morning. But as the day progressed and I began to realize as I was listening what was going on, listening to the songs that were asked for, that were part of our service, that the Lord really has a message for us, and he just keeps telling it to us over and over and over again. And, you know, it started off this morning when our sister picked the old path and a place for us to walk, a place for us to be a part of something, to live in a relationship with two things, with God and with his people. That's really to walk with him. And, you know, there was also some other things that came, and in Sunday school we had a long discussion about everything that was going on, how we felt God is working and in the day that we live in. And I think that's so true. I just think I see signs of this, you know, where people are beginning to rise up, and sometimes they're beginning to apply the things they've already known all their life to try and take care of the problems that are going on, the huge conglomerate, massive churches are still using the same methods, and somewhere along here in the future, there's going to be this another shaking. It's going to be a shaking within the Christian community, and I just, you know, my belief is that it's going to have something to do with money. And it's going to change a lot of things, and we're going to find out who it is that serves God, because he doesn't need money. And it's not about the money. And then I listened to Adam speak today about how we need to be grateful and walk in this life. It's difficult, but there's still, you know, joy in spite of these things. So I want to, you know, go on. You know, the title of the sermon is Rise Up. You know, I changed it several times, and I'd like to change it again, but it's too late. But there it is, you know, to rise up. But then this spirit of freedom. This is something that's so important. And so I'm going to back up one slide if I can. See if I back up. Oh, there you go. There's a picture, a pencil, a sketching done by my granddaughter of her brother. He does pretty good, I think, don't you? Looks pretty good. You can tell who that is. And, of course, he was he's a graduate, you know. He can spell and read now and everything. So he's on his own, you know, and I remember getting out of high school quite vividly. I remember the night. I can remember, you know, and I think we remember a lot of things in high school because we're so filled with so many emotions anyway. You know, you just, everything. I can remember the school in the hallways and the people that I liked and the people I didn't like. I can remember all this stuff because there was so much emotion involved. And then I graduated, and we moved completely away from the school. Now, there were a lot of people that stayed there. There was a guy that was actually famous in Texas who was our quarterback, and he was a pretty nice guy, really, pretty upstanding, a fine man. But he used his fame from high school to start a real estate agency, and he probably did pretty well, I'm sure. And from what I knew from him, he was an extremely honest person, so he probably did really good. But that was his slogan. I saw one time, I looked it up, and it had this thing about him, about Kent Ballard. And because he's one of these guys, when he was a freshman, he looked exactly the same as he did when he was a senior. He had a full beard, heavy, you know, and he was 6 foot two, and he was 6 foot two when he graduated. And then there they so loved football so much in this old Quaker town. He was from a Quaker family, and they loved it so much that they kept all of the eighth graders back 1 year so they could all get bigger and stronger and healthier to play football. And it was a B school when I went there. It was a B school. And people knew about this guy in a B school. That's how good he was. And because we would go and we would play these 3A Catholic boys schools, which means, you know, I don't know what the criteria is, but if it has to do just with the number of students, it's like a 6A, you know, because they're all boys. And we would play them and get beat up pretty bad, but with him as quarterback, we scored touchdowns. And it was really, you know, it was just test games, try games, you know. But I'm not defined by my high school. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad I'm not defined by high school. I'm so glad that now, you know, I remember feeling that freedom and taking off and going north with my family and arriving in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and away from all of my friends. And my plan, of course, was to go back. I'm going to go back. I'm going to buy a motorcycle. I'm going to buy a van. I'm going to go back. I'm going to surf. I'm going to work and have a good, great time. And the Lord changed my life entirely. Thanks to the Lord, because I would have been an absolute, I've been a beach bum. And probably, who knows what would have happened, but it was pretty bad. But I had, sometime in the middle of that year, my senior year, cried out to God one night for help because I felt so distressed. And in a year's time, he had totally changed my life. So, we shouldn't be defined by high school. And if you are, we're defined by who we associate. We are defined by who we have relationships with. You're defined by your family. You're defined by your marriage. You're defined by your parents. You're defined by Jesus Christ and his commandments. You're defined by the relationship that you have with him. This is where we get our makeup. And so sometimes we get in these places where we need more joy. We do, don't we? You need more joy. Well, this is going to be, the amount of joy that you have is still going to be defined by those things. It's going to be defined by your church family. It's going to be defined by your relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's where it's going to come from. And here, this one verse here from Psalms 51, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." And if you've ever felt the freedom of Jesus Christ, there is nothing in this world like that. Nothing that can compare with the joy, with the pleasure, with the peace, with the exquisite feeling that Christ gives to you. There's nothing like that. And being free, and being free from your sins, being able to start over, being able to have this. So we'll go on here. Now, I turned this into two sermons, so I'm not going to finish this. After I got through here, I realized I was on two different subjects, and they tied together. But I'm going to do the next one on the 18th of the next month for Father's Day, and it fits right in with Father's Day. But here is this next slide. You know, I got this message, or probably a lot of you may have got a message like this. I got that my insurance company is USAA military. And so they sent me this message in this letter. And so this is what it says about Memorial Day. On Memorial Day, we honor the sacrifice of fallen service members who put their lives on the line for our nation, for us and for future generations of fellow Americans. These men and women answered the call to serve and defend our country with courage, dedication, and selflessness, knowing the risks were great, but the cause was greater. This is also a day to recognize and appreciate the veterans who served alongside these courageous souls. And of course, some of them never came back, did they? We will be in a terrible hurt if there's no one left to rise up and to stand in their place. But we know we live in unusual times. We've got to make we've got to make some sort of stand. You've got to make your mind up where you're going to be in the future. Whose side are you going to be on? And of course, your first consideration is if you're on the side of Jesus Christ, if you're in the honesty of your heart, this is who you want to please. You want to continue this relationship with him. You want to rise up and defend him and defend his children. whether it's just verbally. And I think that in the shadow of the past, we find the road signs for our future. It's true because we have God's word. It's definitely true that way. But it's also true in the people that were associated with us and the people that we came from. You think about this. You know, the stalwartness of some of the people that you and I have come from or you have known. It's just unbelievable the amount of people that were so firm. And it doesn't mean they were always right, but they were often just firm. They're not going to move. And some of them were so firm that God had to change their mind. And they listened. These are the kind of people that are the children of God. This is our heritage. These are the people that we come from. So one of the things to do that defines us, that's going to help you, is to continue your association. You know, after you graduate and you continue your association with God's people. So I like this one verse that Nephi said, you know, when he was in the process of building a boat and getting ready and collecting supplies and seeds and dried fruits and I don't know what else they had and all the things that they took with them. And they'd been in the wilderness for about 8 years and they were there at least 10 years. And to consider, you know, everything they went through. You know, that was really a great sacrifice. They left their homes and got out there, and by the time they got across the wilderness, after I think it was 8 years, they were all married. And even in Lehi, we know he had two sons, Jacob and Joseph. How many sons did his sons have? How many sons and daughters did they have? My guess would be that there were some of those young women who had 8 children. And they pretty well were defined by their family, weren't they? All these people, they were defined. And of course, we've lost that now. Things are far more complicated, you know. There was a time in the history of our nation, in the history of the world, there was no such thing as an adolescent. They didn't exist. They went from being little kids, they began to learn to work, and they learned to work on the farms and the ranches and all these kind of things, and in the stores, they learned how to do this kind of stuff, and they learned to work and to take care of themselves, and they were working, many of them, by the time, you know, they were 12, they were probably fairly experienced. And that's the way the world was, and it's not, I'm not saying that's what we're supposed to be, but there are advantages to it. They, you know, someone at 18 was well invested in life already and ready to tackle it head on. So this is what we need to do. But we need to keep separating ourselves. We need to separate yourself as an individual. And here it says, Nephi made this one statement. It says, and I, Nephi, did go into the mount off. He went up somebody. There's a lot of mountains here. You know, there's a lot of places you can go. And most of them that are common, you go up on top of them and there's, you know, 20 other people, 30 other people. But there are places still around that you can go. You can go into the wilderness. There are places where you can go. Well, you're the only one there. You and God. You need to learn how to communicate with God. Did go into the mount oft, and did pray oft unto the Lord. Wherefore the Lord showed unto me great things. Wow. He prayed, and he prayed oft. What did he pray for? I'm sure he prayed for his family. I'm sure he prayed for their journey. He prayed for everything that was going on, for his children, for his father, for his brothers, for the people that were rebelling against him. He was praying for all these people. He was an experienced prayer warrior. He went there often. And I'm sure they had their meetings and they had their sacrifices and things. And Lehi, we know he made a sacrifice after he left Jerusalem. And they probably continued to do that. So they met together often. And it shaped their lives. And some of them turned away, as we know. But that's something you have to do. You have to continue. You have to define yourself. You have to make your relationship with Jesus. And he will respond to you. So here we have, you know, service now, reward later. That's something we have to always remember. You serve God now, you get your main reward later. But the beautiful thing about it, like that song that they sing, you know, there's nothing worse in this world than being alone. So, you know, when I got out of high school, I felt pretty much alone. Didn't have too many friends. I was with my family still, you know, but I still didn't have any friends until I went down to Belton, Missouri, and lived there for a year and a half and started going to church immediately there and went down. I went down to Collins and went to the East Local, went to the temple lot, got to know all the kids and got invited by some of the kids there to come home with them. And I just adopted an entirely different way of life. And it was really great. I loved it. I loved it. I went to every service there was. My father helped me buy an old used Mustang, and we drove it, and I drove it, and I drove it fast, I will admit, to get back and forth. And there were times I made three trips in a day, several times, from Belton to get to church activity, because I'd go to work, you know, and then I have to go back there. And somehow, I don't know how, one day I remember doing that three times, and I made it. And it was not a big deal, because I loved it. I wanted more of it. I wanted more of this because I was isolated all my life. But here, let's go on. Service now, reward later. And I got this captive. Fear is your enemy. For here it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. And under penalty of death, I'm sure. Wow. Pretty gutsy, because they knew what was right. Because they were killing those kids, and they knew what was right. And something inspired. Because they saw he was a proper child. I don't really know exactly what they mean. You know, every child looks to me pretty proper, you know, like they should be there. But there was something that said, you know, save this boy. And so they did. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, you know, there's a lot of talk about this kind of stuff today. It can get ugly and bad and wrong, but it's still, because of your great relationship with Christ, you should know when it's time to disobey. You should know, because you have a great relationship with Christ, and you have a great relationship with your brothers and sisters, and they're all going to be talking about what do we do, when do we do it. We rely upon this ark that God has created for us to be saved. We're going to be defined by the things you learn and by the things we go by. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Wow, here's another thing. He went from riches to suffering. That's pretty gutsy. That's pretty courageous. There's a lot of people who can't and won't do that. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He was looking for things that he would get a recompense from the Messiah. He would get a recompense through him, because he was really, you know, kind of like a type of Messiah. And his brother especially, who was the oldest son apparently, Aaron, and the high priest, and they had these types and signs, and they lived in hope of Jesus Christ. They lived in hope of him. And Moses gave that prophecy. You know, someday God's going to raise up another prophet like me. And him you'll hear in everything he says. So he knew, and he was willing to suffer everything to gain that eternal reward. Are you willing to suffer everything that you have to maintain that closeness with God? It is worth everything because of what Christ does for us. It would be better to be reproached with Christ, as he says. Better to be made fun of as a Christian and with other Christians than it is to have respect or to live in the treasures of this world. 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So, you know, after, he, of course, part of this was because of this relationship. He left all these things, a lot of them beforehand, and then he came in contact, and there was that beautiful day in his life when he walked on the holy ground because God was there. He heard him speak. But there were other things to get to that place. It took him years. He was an old man already by my standards. He was older than me, I think, at that time. For he endured seeing him who is invisible. He had his eyes and he had this relationship. He had this knowledge of God. And it wasn't just an idea. He knew it for a fact. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they obeyed. By faith. And this is, you know, our faith has to be tested. And he was defined by who his family was, wasn't he? He took that by this chosen people. He was defined. He knew God had chosen them, and he was defined by that. Today, of course, that's your real family in the Lord, your spiritual, your real family, as well as you know, I can't ever get away from the impact that my father had in my life. And though he was not a member of this church, I will never. Yeah, I'm part of him. You know, I have part of him inside me. My thought processes are there. I'm defined by those that I've been around. We're defined. And so it's so important. Pick the right friends. Pick the right friends. If your friends make fun of you and your friends are doing things they shouldn't be doing, maybe you need to pick new friends. That might be the thing to do in life. Looking for a better country. This is, you know, also in that same chapter of Hebrews 11, verses 13 to 19. These all died speaking about Abraham, Isaac, Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac, and those, the forefathers, Jacob, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We're just passing through this day. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. We have another nation, God's kingdom, that we're looking for the complete fulfillment of it. Even though we're part of it today, we're looking for a complete fulfillment. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, if they were thinking about it all the time, he says they might have opportunity to have returned. They could have returned. That place had a whole huge flat plain there with two rivers in it. It was an incredible place. It was a place that anything would grow. Put it in the ground and run part of the river there. Anything would grow. It was fertilized by the floods every year. New soil. And that I studied one time. And I think that since the days of Abraham till now, that land has actually grown another 60 miles or something just from the delta. It just keeps going out into the oceans. All this wonderful soil that comes out of the mountains from the snows and things. So it says, they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country, from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned. But no, now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared for them a city. There's a place prepared for us. There are things prepared for us in the future, and they're sure and they're firm. And you can receive an assurance of these things if you'll do what Nephi did, and you'll go often in prayer. You'll go often to the scriptures. You'll come often to these services. So what are the other things that might draw us away, might take us down the wrong path? Well, there's a lot of talk about, you know, people having their ministry today and all kinds of walks, singing ministry and visiting ministry. But that's, you know, what we're all supposed to do. But that word really, ministry, really in the New Testament, it just means servant. That's all it means. And so it's not really in capital letters, even though they may call it that. We're all supposed to be, we have to watch out when our arrogance, when we're just God's servants is all we are. All we are is God's servants. We go as he tells us to go. And we have this one verse here from Acts 1:25, that he may take part of this ministry in apostleship, speaking of Matthias, wasn't it? For which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. That he might take part of this ministry and apostleship sounds really big. We don't hear a whole lot about Matthias, though. He must have been just kind of a humble guy. And ministry, this word literally means a service. You know, your ministry is service to others. That's what it literally means, service to others. And apostleship, that just means it's ascending away. God sent them on a particular mission. They're not any better than anyone else. And we need to be careful. We are defined by whom we serve. You are defined by whom you obey. And who you spend time with. And so where is your pride if the only thing that you're actually doing is just on God's errand? You've been sent by him. You felt the Spirit. You felt inclined. You were led to talk to someone, to call someone up, to do something. You were led to preach a sermon. You're just on God's errand. That's all you are. And every one of you, that's what we are. The things that God puts in our mind are things that give us this peace and this strength and this relationship. But they're his doing. They're his plan. They're his work. And without him, we are nothing. And so the churches that are looking for fame and fortune, they need to be tested a little bit more. And there's no special ministry for exceptional service. Really? It's all about the money. Don't be envious. You know, no matter what anyone wants to say, you know, I don't know where I am in this thought process about all these people coming out of other countries coming here. Some of them are coming for bad, some are probably coming for not so bad, but an awful lot of them, you know, they're coming for some freedom. There's people that are coming for freedom, but there's just a whole lot of them coming for money. There's no question in my mind. I know them. I've talked to them. They're coming for money, and they have something to learn. They have things they're going to learn. I don't think God is just going to throw them away because they have things to learn. They're coming for these things. Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver? Luke 16:11 says, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches? And we're talking about this mammon. It's a Babylonian word, and it was used in the Book of Mormon. Interestingly enough, that word because we would know what it meant and we'd know where it came from. And one of the complaints today that I hear all the time, I keep hearing it from people like you, is that people don't want to work. Don't be part of that crowd. Work. You be part of the answer. You work. You do an honest day's work. Learn how to do a little suffering. Learn how to serve. Learn how to make things right. The person who serves the most, you know, really controls the most. My experience is, you know, you can determine how things will go by how good you serve. How you take care of things. How you take care of crisis. How you take care of how you help people. And it's a humbling feeling, but you help establish everything that's going on in your workplace. You become a fixture, become someone that they need. No matter what they think of you, they need you. Mammon, deified, or it says mad god. I mean, it should be made god. See, I needed to change them. Made God. It's something that they take this money has become God. It's all about the money. People want money and they'll work for money. Money is an idol of this world. It's one of the chief things that leads us away from from where we should be to where make it where you wouldn't be able to spend your time. You wouldn't be able to go to the mount oft. You wouldn't be able to meet together oft. And so we read here in 3 Nephi 15:1-15, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so down here, the Strong's definition, it says your confidence, that is your figuratively wealth, is personified. Mammonus is the word that is avarice, what you want. It's been deified. What you want has been deified, and it's really one of the things we have to be very careful of. But we know that. We read in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's this, the book of Ecclesiastes is a difficult book. It's one of the most difficult books for me to figure out in many respects. It says here, and this is a beautiful passage, it's, you know, the subject of songs, and people quote this in books and all kinds of things. To everything, there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Now, when I my research from this, you know, like a time to dance, what is that? You know, there was a time when the people, they would leap and jump. It was much more like, well, see, the Chinese have done this. They have a form of dance that's much more, and they claim this is the first gymnastics. You know, you've seen them do their things that they do, and it's beautiful. But it really doesn't have anything to do with boys and girls dancing together. It doesn't. It has something to do with skipping, being happy, being joyful, being filled with like a child, being filled with joy that, you know, you have to run, you have to do something, you have to play. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose. A time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. But you know what it doesn't say? There's no time for addictions. There's no time for drunkenness. No time for procrastination or putting off your responsibilities. There is no scriptural justification for doing those things. They're not there. Ecclesiastes 1 and 22, after this, you know, it's hard to get past Ecclesiastes. You know, it talks about the vanity of life, the vanity of living, the vanity of everything, you know, the vanity of everything that you work for, even the vanity, you know, the vanity of wisdom and the vanity of all these things. It's really kind of hard to get through. And of course, then it talks, you know, the suffering, the things that go on, and everyone's going to die. I just read these few verses of that same chapter. Immediately, the next verse is, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? You know, but that's not really, we don't want to teach people that, you know, it's not profitable. But in the end, you don't take it with you. That's really what he's telling us. And then in verse 18, I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. And all go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? You know, he's at least giving credence to the idea that they're spirits, that we have spirits and animals don't. Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion, for who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? You know, these are true things, you know, that they're vanity, but somewhere you've got to get past this. You got to get past these things. We reach this place sometimes. What's the use? You know, why am I working? What am I laboring for? And again, it always goes back for someone else. For God. For your family. You're making them safe and happy, giving them the opportunity to live in a world where they can make their own mind up, they can make their own decisions. Because if we just left it just to what we see with our eyes in this world, nothing is fair. It's never fair. And without God, everything's unfair. And even the things that they did, the systems that they want to bring about. Socialism, if you listen to it really carefully, socialism and communism, it's all about the money. That's all they talk about. They talk about it and talk about it. And first, you don't catch it. Oh, no, they're trying to make it equal. No, they're not. They're not. They want to get control of it and get control of you. And the first thing that they will do if they get control, which is because they've done it every single time, is depopulate the land. There are no exceptions. So anyway, but that's neither here nor there. Here we have what I went to the other day.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present the senior class. At this time, I invite the graduates to move their tassel from right to left, signifying graduation.
So that's some of our people. I don't know who that is. Jerry clapping. I'm not sure who that is, but that's somebody clapping there.
High school class of 2023. Congratulations!
There go the caps. All right. That was Chris, I think. All right. No, let's go. Time to get out of here. You know, one of the biggest problems in life is when I look back, and I was tempted, you know, to get on one of these high school reunion school sites, you know, and get involved and figure out what's going on. I look at names on there, and four or five people that tried to contact me. So I remember a couple of these people. And, you know, it just isn't that important to me. Some people never get out of high school. I don't know why, but it's true. There's a lot of people never get out of high school. And I'm so glad. I'm sure a lot of you are glad to be out of high school. You know, I'm really glad it's gone. And a lot of those kids, I'm sure, are very glad to get out of high school. And now, and because after that, they take their pictures, they go out, and then they're off. You know, they've got this freedom. But if it comes time that you're not happy, you know, you really have to get some focus in your life. It's so important. We have access to Christ, to God. In Ephesians 2:12-18, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye are sometimes were far off and made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Of course, that's something only Jews would have known about, that there was a wall, a Gentile's court around, separated from the temple, and they could go up to a certain place and they could never pass that line. But that's all gone. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Both Jews and Gentiles are now made free in this. And we are now defined by this relationship. We are defined by our relationship with Jesus Christ. We are defined by our relationship with God's Spirit that sustains us and carries us one day after day. Can you have enough faith to follow him from this day on? The book of Acts again. You know, there's another side to life. The spiritual life, things happen here, and God throws us in the middle of this battle, and we're part of it. In Acts 2, 17 to 21, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And that means you. And all your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, and before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're thrown right into this mix. People have been in this mix from the beginning. We're in this mix with Christ. There's a spiritual side that gives meaning to life, that gives purpose to us, that drives us to do this. And we are not alone. I believe I think someone mentioned that. Oh, I know, it was one of the songs we sang tonight. One of the songs talked about Emmanuel, and then Debbie added a verse about Jesus. And I thought, how interesting, because those are the two names that came to my mind. Those two names, Emmanuel, which of course means God with us, and Jesus means Jehovah saved. You know, the Jewish day of Pentecost was yesterday, and the night before that, it was Friday night and Saturday. And that thing that's on the Jewish calendar, because an awful lot of people, and I'm one of them, think that the Jewish calendar for one year is really a history. It's a prophetic history of God's dealings with the house of Israel and everything that he's done, and the crowning of the king, and so forth. Everything, all these feasts and festivals and things, and Pentecost, you know, it comes in the late spring. It comes when maybe they might have a first fruit of harvest. It comes, of course, because when it represents when Moses came down out of the mountain and brought with him the Ten Commandments. And it comes at the beginning of the hot season. So you can get ready spiritually. God's Spirit comes to us. His Word comes to us. So you can be ready for the heat of the day, for the labor that is ahead of us. It is always ahead of us. This is the promise that God has given to us. Do you trust God and Jesus enough to follow his Son? And I just have these two verses here from the book of Ephesians. And it says in Ephesians 1 and 2, and then in the middle of that is a definition of one of the words that's here. It says, do you trust God enough to follow his Son? And it says here, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And that word followers is a Greek word, and you can see it there, mimetes and mimaites. I don't know how you say it, but it's a Greek word, and it's the word where we get mimic and mime from, and it means to imitate, to follow. To follow Christ really means to imitate him, to do what he did in his life. Do you have enough faith to do that? Do you have enough faith to, you know, it's time for us to come out of the closet, so to speak, you know, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Are you spiritually, are you at that place where you are spiritually willing and ready and able to make a sacrifice for God? So what happens, you know, this life that we have, you know, it really, and the peace that we have, this contentment that I have, it depends often on how much time I spend with my brothers and sisters. It depends on how much time I pray. It depends on how much time that I feel God's Spirit. It depends on how much singing of gospel hymns. I do. It depends on me having this relationship. It depends on how much I share with my family and with my brothers and sisters my needs. Because I do that, and then I become defined by you. I've shared a need here and there in my life, and you know, people come up and they share with me their answers. And it's really great. I love it. I go, yeah, that sounds right. Those things sound right. What you're telling me sounds right. How you share with Christ and your church family. Jesus carries your soul. You know, what does he actually do, you know, for you? You know, we're never alone, but he carries you spiritually. He carries you in his arms. He carries you by his spirit and permits you to ascend to heights, spiritual heights that are impossible without him. And he carries as well much of your mental burdens. If you will let him, if you'll let him. And it depends on whether or not you're determined to follow him in your own personal life. And the next sermon is to immediately to follow. Because there's some other elements that I've been praying about for a long time. You know, Eric and I just got back from a trip out into the wilderness. And I for the long time, why do I want to go there? Why in the world do I want to go out there in the middle of this hot, dry, thirsty desert land west of Sedona? It's just wild, and it's getting thicker and fuller, there's never any water in the creek there that's in there, unless you go way down some of the place. But the problem with there's always water. Water, that's the problem. How do you get water? Why do I want to go there? And I think the Lord told me why. I'd like to share that on Father's Day. There are a lot of needs we have. We have great needs. And we need to rise up and start meeting those needs. And our young men and women and our old men and women need to rise up. They need to be strong and steadfast and seek God with all of our hearts. This is what we need. This is what we need as a people. We need this to survive. But I've said it once before, and I'll say it again. If I'm the last one, I hope I can remain faithful. But I'm not going to be the last one. I know that. I'm not. I know that. And I know that a lot of you are going to endure. But these words are to encourage you to rise up, to take your place in this world among one of the humble witnesses and servants of Christ's people here on the earth. And God bless us all. Thank you.